You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice. First day of fall. Everyone get your chai teas and your filthy pirate coffee. Got to cuddle that mug with your hands. Keep it warm. It's going to be a brisk 98 degrees out today. So I want you to get those fire pits going about 12 noon today. Get out there and snuggle up in your favorite blanket. And get one of those weighted ones, too. Really get into it. So,
it's that special time of year when the city rolls out their pumpkin spice potholes.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, first and foremost, the idea that we already have a car on fire in Pliskin Acres to start off your morning. It's that Toys R Us time of year, Toys R Us. Look at us. Who knew?
It's like the scene from Rocky where they're all standing around the burning trash can, only it's a car.
That's what's going on. Hopefully no one got hurt.
Right.
And but a Ruben Gallego hump day barbecue to start off the day over in the Acres is quite a way to get your day motoring, as we like to. Motoring! So we do have our first day of fall playlists. We have some contributions on the Waste Book, which is great. And then I went into the archives. This is like, what's his face? Nick Cage in National Treasure.
Riley, we're going to steal the National Declaration of Independence.
It's pretty close. So it's one of my original autumn playlists. I couldn't even tell you. Now, I don't think Ed put a year on it because that would be total Ed. But it has both Ed and my scrawlings on it. So it's like petroglyphs. You know? So.
Well, whatever was printed on it before was 2018. So.
All right.
And then I think. You know.
It's one of the more recent lists. So Packrat Alexander, I would write out these lists. I write them out most mornings. Drive poor Matt insane, right? And then Callahan. And then, of course, Alexander. So in 12 years of this show, we've had three people behind the glass. And that's, of course, very quality people. And then as I put on Facebook yesterday, which blew a few people's mind, in the last 44 years, there's only been three CEOs of the Tucson Metro Chamber in 44 years. And I made my declaration as Mike Varney was the least crappy of the three. So who knew when as time moves on? So what did Billy put about your pumpkin spice potholes are more eco-friendly, or at least more culturally appropriated. I will tell you, and you know what I love about, and this has just made me paranoid. I'm going to, this is going to drive you guys crazy. I sign on to our interweb here. And so it opens up with the homepage is MSM, okay? And it has their little news stories and things like that. Now, this one says, over 50, these habits make you look older, right? And then what I love this is, nobody can stop the hands of time moving forward. However, there are things you can do to encourage premature aging, making you look and feel older than your actual age, right? And then you're going to love this. Read on for the six habits that make you look older and ensure your health. And then you know what it has right after? It says, and don't miss these sure signs that you may already have COVID. What? Well, I'm going to do this for God's sakes. I'm going to do this darn thing. So I just hit 50. So now I need to worry. I got to worry about this stuff. These bastards from ARP keep sending me envelopes every other day. Hate ARP. They help shove Obamacare down everyone's throat. We remember these things. And that's the one thing at Wake Up Tucson, which most people hate. We name names. All right, so what do we got to do today? We got stuff and other things. Now, we keep telling you, and we're going to talk about this with Beatrice. He'll be on at 7:07. Another thing in relation to lockdowns and kids, okay, that is going to blow your mind, that all of these school district people, these virtue signalers out there, and health people, this is another one on your plate that's going to be attributed to you. So we're going to talk about that. We got the veteran police officer that quits over vaccine mandates. We got that. We have a great piece by Charles Hurt, and it's talking about Biden's cover-up culture ties the press in knots. Oh, now we're worried? I mean, the money quote, Chuck Todd, who's also pretty much a loser, quote, I think he's got a pretty big credibility crisis on his hands, unquote.
No, you're kidding.
And then I saw the poll that said 49% believe he's not actually of right. He's non-mentis copus, right? And I'm sitting there going, I got it. You are a Democrat who hates Trump, and you would never admit your guy's nuts. But cheers up, guys. Your guy's nuts.
For the first year of the Trump administration, what did we hear? He's mentally ill, right?
Right.
I mean, even PhDs who are not MDs were diagnosing him as mentally ill.
He's got his finger on the nuclear button.
Right.
That's why General Milley, that patriot, called up the Chinese and said, we'll give you a heads up if we're sending anything your way.
He should have called and warned that family in Afghanistan.
We got alarming figures on the Afghan evacuees and also how many Afghan refugees are coming to Tucson. So we got that going. The great Democrat panic, we'll talk about that. We got a Tucson crime report that the Acres is just rocking. I mean, this is turning into the Dem murder town, man. That's what's going on right now. Now, don't get me wrong. No one's as good as... Well, let me tell you, that's interesting. You know, because Chicago, I gotta see in Chicago, they got it. I mean, they're just slaughtering each other in Chicago. I mean, it's like a weekend goes by and 48 people are getting murdered in Chicago. I mean, the low expectations and comfortably numb of Chicago and Tucson are just amazing. I mean, that's where we're at. So, so we got Michael Beatrice. We got my boy. Brad from Solidarity is going to be on at 6:45 talking about vax mandates. And then Josh Jacobson will be here from the Lucky Wishbone family. But he's been, he has this masochistic thing in his life that he wants to report on what goes on at Pima County Board of Supes meetings. And we appreciate his masochistic service.
So he tortured himself again yesterday, you're telling me?
Yep. So we got that going for us today. Now, before we get to the first break here, I got to get to this thing about looking older. Hold on. So, of course, it has the nice lady who's got the short gray hair, but probably is younger. What do we got? What are they telling us today? Failing to take care of your skin. That's a problem. So, retinoids are great for a variety of conditions, including your discoloration, wrinkles, and sun damage. So remember that, okay? This is things to not look... As you hit 50 or older, this is the things not to do. You're not getting enough sleep. Well, that I think that's a... You know, that happens. Avoiding exercise. No crap. These guys are geniuses. What else do we got here? Yeesh. Hold on. And... They had a blank slide that didn't... Of course, eating the wrong foods. This goes for everyone on the planet. Not wearing sunscreen. Okay. I definitely agree with that. Even when it's a cool day and it's sunny out, you should be wearing your sunscreen. Oh, I like this one. Isolating. Yeah. No crap. What's been happening the last 18 months? You freaking geniuses.
Did you check the byline to see if that was Captain Obvious or?
This is what happens when I click on the MSN news thing. I also find it quite fascinating that our brothers and sisters in the liberal Democrat world are upset that, now I don't know who this young lady is who they found the body in Wyoming and all this other stuff. I guess she's some sort of Instagram influencer. I don't know what she why she has popularity. But what I find amazing is that because there's news stories about it, because I guess she had some sort of presence, the liberals are going crazy because I guess America doesn't worry about missing black women and women of color. Is that where we're at? I mean, that's Joy Reid from MSNBC said something about missing white women syndrome or something like that. And
that is where we're at, Chris.
I mean, that's the weird part, right? All souls matter, right? But this lady had some sort of following, I think. I don't know who she is, right? She's not in whatever sphere I'm banging around in, all right? But the idea that it sounds like they found her body, right? Is that what happened?
Then they say they confirmed that it was her, yes.
Right? So we have a dead girl, a dead sister, daughter, friend, right? And the liberal left is more worried that we're not reporting missing women of color.
You read that correctly, Chris.
I mean, that's a pretty sick place to be in your mind. I'm sure there'll be a Fitz cartoon coming out. One of you guys sent me this t-shirt that you can get now that says LGBTQ. And let's get Biden to quit. So I'm sure someone will yell at us for appropriating all of that. So let's go to break. A first day of fall. So we got a great list. This is one of my favorite songs just by Nat King Cole ever. And if this doesn't chill you out, you can go along with this one. It's called Tis Autumn, Nat King Cole Trio, 50, I think, 1950. Wake up. All right. Welcome back to Wake Up Tucson. Love that new Sonoran Brunch commercial. Welcome back to Kenny and Nikki. Love that commercial. Very, very nice. So Heller is telling me that Charles, the young lady who was murdered was part of the van life culture that had via YouTube and Instagram channels documenting their nomadic lifestyle and mostly do-it-yourself conversion van builds. Okay. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. But again, right, she had a following, right? There was something she was doing through social media to create a following. That's why it's a story. So there's plenty of non-BIPOC, I think that's the word to use, of people of color that are being murdered, kidnapped every week in this country that no one knows who they are because they don't have social media. So the idea, the crew on the left, keep saying dumb stuff. Hopefully the Republicans are there to capitalize on it one day. We'll see. So these psychos at Ben and Jerry's, okay, they make ice cream. They stop buying any product they have. We know they already hate Israel, right? And I think, did the state of Arizona say they're not going to anything? I can't remember if it was something about they were going to pull any sort of investment that had anything to do with Ben and Jerry's. But so now the new one is they have their defund police ice cream. It's called Change is a Brewing. And they want to a movement. The defund police supplementing Cori Bush's $10 billion anti-police bill that would replace cops with social workers. Quote: Change is a brewing. Grab your spoon and dig to a flavor boldly celebrating safety and liberation for all. Not yet for Sideshow Bob, but we're getting there. It's time for. It's time to divest from systems that criminalize black communities and invest in a vision of public safety that allows everyone, oh, here comes the line, to breathe free, unquote. Oh, Bob's here. Bob, what are you doing here so early? Well, look how happy he is. So, the flavor supports the vision of the world in which every community is safe, including black and brown people, can thrive. Here's a manager. The Ben and Jerry, they're quoted by the Ben and Jerry's U.S. activism manager.
A hustle job if I've ever seen one.
The artwork on the ice cream container shows a black woman and the word liberation. So I know this is really hard for Democrats and liberals to understand, right? Do you know how you keep you minimize what's going on in this sphere, as Dan Gibson would say? It's in the sphere, right? Is really have an education system that shows accountability, teaches accountability, citizenship, and teaches the basics. Because you all want to blame. Yes, we understand they're from underprivileged families and things like that. Well, that's been going on forever. So when do you actually use the education system to break out of the bad cycle of violence here, the violent cycle of this whole thing? So anyway, we have this. I'm too strong in the voice.
George Winston.
What's the name of today's George Winston autumn tune?
Moon.
Ah, George Winston Moon. Hear the moon, feel the moon in the background, and the leaves dancing off the maple trees. As you dance in your pagan circle out into the forest with your Ben and Jerry's ice cream in your hand. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. We come back, a Maricopa County supervisor caught on tape. We're not going anywhere until he says the words. Ah, there we go. I love Johnny's. I like Frank, and I like other versions of it. Elle is great, but it's probably my favorite.
And we got a lot of multiple interpretations of covers of songs, so we'll kind of work a few of them in.
That one's lush as hell, as we like to say. Lush as hell. All right, let's get to Steve Chukri. Steve is a Maricopa County supervisor. He's been so... I know Steve for years because he used to be involved in a restaurant association. Steve Chukri. It's C-C-H-U-C-R-I. Chukri. So Steve made the mistake of talking to some folks who recording some stuff. When anyone meets me, they say, "Oh, I'd like to meet you and talk to you about something." Right? Someone I don't. That's not my immediate thing. I always talk as if I'm being recorded anyway. Always assume you're being recorded by somebody. I mean, it's not like when I'm on the air, I'm shy about. There's certain things I'm not sharing with you. I want to do that. The Gaffigan second voice. Some people say you share too much. So Steve on leaked recordings. Yes, they were leaked. Yeah, by accident. So Friday is the release of the audit findings of the Maricopa County 2020 election. As we know, there's been much angst between the Board of Supes and the Arizona State Senate, the Republicans, on this. Which is funny, right? Because the Maricopa County supervisors are majority Republican. And then you have, you know, they should be upset by possibly if something went wrong in the 2020 elections, right? So Steve is now resigning after his... Now, So let's see what he said. He goes, the comments I made were during a very turbulent time. My colleagues have every right to be both angry and disappointed with me. I should have not made such statements and offer apologies. Okay. So, what Steve said in these recordings, he was talking, especially if you're talking to leaders of the We the People AZ Alliance. Always be ready. Shelby Bush, who founded the organization in December with Steve Robinson and Eric Wunuk, told the Republic they recorded the conversations with Chukri in January and March. In one conversation, Chukri said, told them he was surprised by his colleagues' opposition to the audit. You know what I think? This is Chukri talking. You know what I think it was? Gates got scared because he barely won, and Jack got scared because he only won by 200 votes. And if there was an audit and a recount, which is really bull, I can't say the rest of that word, by the way, what would happen in those two races? And that is way too self-serving, unquote. Chukri was referring to Sellers and Supervisor Bill Gates, not that Bill Gates, who won their races by tight margins. Chukri in one of the recordings also told him that Supervisor Clint Hickman wanted to have a conversation about doing the audit at the end of last year, but, quote, didn't have the guts. He also said that his colleagues, quote, want to suck up and kiss up for your vote, unquote. He also told him he regretted not expanding the hand count audit before certifying the vote. Chukri, in the interview, in the recordings, indicated there was a fraud, although he offered no evidence for such claims in the released recording. Quote, I think it was done through dead people voting. I think it was multifaceted. I think there's a lot of cleanup here, unquote. This is Steve Chukri. So, anyway, so because of his honest talk about his fellow supervisors caught on video, excuse me, audio, he is now going to resign. The people that recorded him said that the people, this is from the Republic reporting on this, AZ Central. Chukri got caught talking out of both sides of his mouth. This guy Bush says, quote, the people deserve, or lady, deserve elected officials to stand up for what they believe. His actions did not meet his words. So anyway, just a little extra spicy tamale in the whole audit thing as we get there. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. Like I said, with all of this, right, for all the people that were banging on the audit in the first place, right, If you believed it was on the up and up, right, like this foolish Katie Hobbs lady, right, running for governor. Hold on, I gotta get my... Okay. Then you guys should be great, right? You should say, oh, nothing happened in the vote, and this thing's not going to find anything anyway. Let it go. Please, Democrats, don't... When you say, oh, the Senate's wasting money... Democrats, you lost the high ground on the wasting money years ago, right? It's like Anakin, I have the high ground now. So you guys lost the high ground a long time ago, but what I'm telling you is, all of you people that are going nuts over this thing, let it happen. Isn't the good thing, if you really believe that the 2020 Maricopa elections was on the up and up, you let this happen, and you go, look, there's nothing. And so, as Hamlet once said, methinks the lady doth protest too much. Yes, Matthew.
I'm trying to get my brain wrapped around why he's resigning.
Correct.
That part, I just don't get it.
So he was secretly recorded, it sounded like, okay? And he had honest opinions about his fellow supervisors, right? Now, the interesting part is that maybe he's quitting because he talked about how he thought there's problems with this thing. He's quoted on saying that dead people voted, but he didn't do anything about it. Is that the real reason he's resigning, Matt? Is that he's saying that dead people might have voted and screwed up the vote, but he didn't do anything about it?
Or maybe he said more on the tape that hasn't been released that day with those people.
Right.
I just don't know. It just doesn't make any sense.
I mean, is he really saying, he's going to say, well, I feel that my relationship with my fellow supervisors has been very strained by this, and we won't be able to collaborate on a new vision for Maricopa. I mean, is that where we're at?
Welcome to Pima County. they don't even have to be secretly recorded. They just, say whatever they want.
Correct. So, yeah, I don't know. It's weird, wacky, wild stuff. All right, let's go to break. My boy Brad's calling in from Solidarity HealthShare. We're going to talk about vaccine mandates. Michael Beatrice at the top of the hour, then Josh Jacobson. Steve Farley comes in for a visit, then a little more Josh Jacobson. It's a Josh and Steve Farley sandwich coming up later. Shouldn't have said that. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 of the voice. All right, first day of fall here at Wake Up Tucson. Got to go right to the phones. We have our friend Brad Hahn, co-founder, CEO of Solidarity HealthShare, a nonprofit health caring sharing ministry faithful to the moral teachings of the Catholic Church. What's up, big dog? How are you doing?
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
So let's get right into it, my friend. Booster shots on the Pfizer shot. We had a couple of FDA people quit over there. Disagreeing with all this. What's going on with our those special friends at the FDA?
Well, thankfully, they're not in Biden's back pocket like we thought they were, because the advisory panel, rejected that everyone should get a booster by a stunning 16-2 vote. And so I think a lot of this is backfiring on the president and the administration. The fear is still driving a lot of these decisions. And like Joe Biden said, his patience is running out. Well,
oh,
I think
no.
You should ask that of the American people, if our patience is running out yet about everything. And even I was back in Washington, D.C. last week. I had some meetings on the Hill with some congressmen, such like that. And even walking in through the congressional buildings, no one was wearing masks, which I thought was pretty interesting. I guess maybe the Longmore, House building and all those things may be exempt from the mask mandate. And I also noticed, too, is that Nancy Pelosi is not going to impose, the vaccine, on members of Congress. That's what it's looking like now. And it's still an estimate like only maybe 1 out of 5 of the congressmen are even vaccinated right now. And so I think it just shows that there's different rules, different applies, applies to different people. And I was laughing, too, because there was a Wall Street Journal article this weekend talking about the Spanish flu in 1918. And there was a big scandal that broke out in San Francisco at the time, too, because there was a picture of the mayor and some of his officials at a boxing match in San Francisco, and they didn't have their masks on either. They had a mask mandate at the time in San Francisco. So it's kind of funny how this is kind of, resurfacing itself even back in the early 1900s. The politicians ignored their own rules.
I don't think I've ever asked you this question, but give me your breakdown of the last 18 months of why doesn't a good portion of the American public not trust health officials and what's coming out of their mouths and the elected and unelected bureaucrats that are in the part of this. What has happened over the last 18 months to give the average American pause? And who knew that Nicki Minaj would be one of the symbols of this 18 months later? Give us the breakdown of trust.
Well, I think what we're seeing here at Solidarity, and especially some of the doctors I talked to, and from the very beginning, our doctors that we work closely with, that work with their members closely on the front lines, and the people I talked to at some of the, at the Mayo Clinic and stuff like that are on the front lines of this. They've always said, at the very beginning, Brad, we kind of know how to treat this, and this is even before the vaccine came into question. And so that's when they started working with a lot of, a lot of stuff that's already been approved by the FDA, not specifically for this disease, hydrochloroquine and ivermectin and such like that. When they started using these and they started treating people, they started getting good results, and then fast forward when the vaccine debate started to really step up. That's when a lot of these doctors says, yeah, Brad, we know how to treat this now. And that's still kind of where I think a lot of people are and a lot of doctors are, if you get this virus, you know, it's going to impact some people very seriously. But they're so much better at treating it. As long as they catch it early enough and people don't wait to go get medical attention, you know, it's not as dangerous, even though the death rate is still less than 1%. So I think that's part of the the trust factor. And I've been seeing some polls too, that if you talk to some people, some groups say that if you get COVID, yet 50% of people that get COVID go to the hospital. You know, what's actually, it's way less than 2%. So I think that's a huge breakdown in trust, is the stuff I'm seeing on the news just does not correlate with what I'm talking to doctors about and what I'm talking to the people on the street about. So I think that leads to a huge breakdown in trust. And I think a lot of things, too, is people are saying, well, I rushed out and got the vaccine because I was supposed to be, you know, completely inoculated with it. And that's kind of the messaging that's out there. And people are still getting, you know, COVID, you know, after they get the vaccine. So I think every step of the way, there's just been a lack of true information on what this virus is about and how it's impacting people and actually, you know, inhibiting people. And I don't know if you saw that there's a statute passed here that Nancy Bartlett led here in the state of Arizona, basically saying that, you know, government officials in the state of Arizona cannot influence doctors' decisions when it comes to a pandemic, really trying to preserve, you know, the client-patient relationship here when it comes to the pandemic.
So when Doug Ducey banned hydroxy, this is what we're talking about, that stupid move?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's what we're seeing. And we're seeing that right now is, I know a doctor friend of mine right now who just got COVID over the weekend, and he wanted to prescribe, his doctors were prescribing hydroxychloroquine. Oh, no, excuse me, ivermectin. And then it's taken them, they had to call around to 6 pharmacies before they found one that would actually fill the prescription, because the pharmacist doesn't believe, and the CVSs and the big companies don't believe that ivermectin is a good solution. Well, I don't know about you, but I usually rely more on my doctor, you know, than a pharmaceutical company on what's best for me and my body and my family's bodies.
I keep asking this question. It's not really a vaccine, is it?
No, not at all.
I call it a pre-therapeutic. Yeah. Does that sound more accurate?
Yeah, that's a good way to probably describe it, you know, because they're saying it's just about a 60%, you know, effective rate. And there's even a doubt right now, the studies I've been reading, is that whether it's going to really reduce the symptoms, you know. And because I had a talk with a doctor friend of mine, I said, I really don't understand something, doc. If I come to you with COVID, what do you try to do? He says, well, I try to prevent that COVID from getting the mRNA spike in your body, because when it gets spikes, that's when it can really start doing some really damaging effect to your body. I said, wait a minute, isn't that what the vaccine does? Doesn't the vaccine, the shot, push you to that mRNA, you know, pushing your body to that every time, the max? He says, yeah, it does. He says, that's why this vaccine makes no sense to me. And this doctor in particular is working with other doctors nationally now to try to, how to reverse the mRNA spike from this vaccine if somebody has a problem with it, because they can't stop it from spiking in your body.
I'm going to go crawl back under my rock this morning and never come back.
I think there's good news out there, though.
All right. We got about a minute and a half. So what's the good news, Brad Hahn?
Yeah, the good news is, like what I talked about earlier, the doctors are getting more confident in how to treat this. I think what you really need to be, you know, still, you know, it's still highly could be spread pretty easily. But I think still as us, we still can't have fear. You know, we still can't panic. You know, we could take some precautions, sanitary precautions, if that makes you feel comfortable. But still, the moment you get any type of symptoms, you know, get tested, you know, and get in to see your doctor early, you know, and get the proper, you know, medications in place and really try to prevent this thing from doing a lot of damage to you. So I think that's a good sign, is they're really confident. And some of the doctors and nurses I talk to who are refusing the vaccine, they're saying, Brad, I want the natural immunity because it's better for me and my body than this artificial shot that they're giving me. And so I think you're still going to see kind of a rebellion coming on this mandatory vaccine. And I don't think that's the way to really influence the American people, is to mandate things. I think you have to, you know, persuade them with good knowledge and good education, and the American people can make good decisions on their health care.
All All right. If you want to figure out a better way of taking care of your health care costs, go to SolidarityHealthShare.org. I'm a member of it. Very happy with what goes on with my life when it comes to paying my health bills. So in a moral way. So, Brad, you the man. We got to book you longer, Nick. We got to start doing half hours with Han, I think, now. That's what we're going to do in the future.
It'd be fun.
All right, my friend. Have a good day.
All right.
That's
you too.
Brad Han, SolidarityHealthShare.org. We got Michael Beatrice, COVID-19 lockdowns on trial. Lots to cover with him. Then Josh Jacobson.